It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury, and of course, CLNS Radio is the leading online provider of audio-video coverage for the Boston Celtics. That's why we're here with you tonight. And the Celtics win this game tonight as they take on the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia on the second night of a back-to-back. They win it 107-106. We are also on your radio dial up at ESPN New Hampshire Radio, 912.50 up in the Granite State. That's AM and streaming live on ESPNNHradio.com. Welcome into the show. Celtics win. Tough game. My co-host tonight, Nick Sesento. We've got Jared Scally behind the glass for us. Nick, what is going on here with these Boston Celtics playing down to their opponents yet again? And barely squeaking one out against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, it wouldn't be an early season Celtics game if we weren't playing down to our opponents, I guess. A one-point win against the lowly 76ers, I don't know what to say. We were trailing for most of the game, I think, you know, from what I saw. Tough, hard-fought win.
Seemed to pull it
out in that fourth quarter, and, I mean, what can you say?
You know, it was certainly ugly. So what I will say is that our opening segment is powered by Blue Apron, whose mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. I use Blue Apron, and it's wonderful. It's delicious. They achieve that mission by supporting a more sustainable food system, and they set the highest standards for ingredients. And they're building a community of home chefs, and it's great. I'm one of them. I'm looking forward to the burgers that they're going to be sending out pretty soon. It's just delicious stuff, and you feel good after you eat it. It tastes delicious, I'm telling you. Got to check it out. And for now, you can get some free meals, three of them. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS, and you will feel how good it tastes and how good it feels to check this stuff out. It's all fresh. It's wonderful. blueapron.com/CLNS. That's three free meals and free shipping as well. Perfect time, right in time for the holidays. So go check that out. And you can give us a call tonight if you'd like as well. 347-215-7771. That's our Movement Watches toll-free call lines. Nick, I don't want you to be down because Patrick and I were on the show last night and we were critical of this team. So let's not try and do that two nights in a row. Let's try and find some good things that happened because there was an incredible performance out of one of the Boston Celtics tonight. And that man bouncing back from kind of a poor shooting week, if you will, was Isaiah Thomas. He put down 37 tonight. Great game from him.
Absolutely. And I think this was out of 20 games this season, this is 19 now that he scored 20-plus points. He's only had one game this entire season in which he scored less than 20 points. So regardless of his shooting woes that he's had the past several games, he's still put up 20 points in those games. Just tonight he did it a little bit more efficiently, or should I say a lot more efficiently, 11 for 19 shooting, 2 for 3 from beyond the arc, which I think is fantastic because it seems like a lot of those shots that he was missing in the previous games, in recent games, were coming from behind the line where he's not exactly an above-average three-point shooter. He's a serviceable three-point shooter, but not an above-average shooter. So tonight he got it done efficiently and got to the line 15 times and made 13 of those shots. So definitely an outstanding game for Isaiah Thomas. Can never complain when you have 37 points and 7 assists with only 2 turnovers. I mean, just incredible. Incredible performance by Isaiah Thomas. Again, he's our backbone.
Yeah, and the play of pretty much everyone was good tonight. You even saw Gerald Green, my nemesis on these shows lately. he saw some time, but that gets into my next point. Aside from the fact that Thomas was excellent, the Celtics I mean, had some solid performances all around the board, but the coach is still tinkering with the lineup. And I mean, whatever it is, whether it's because it's the second night of a back-to-back or he's really just trying to figure out who deserves the minutes, this is something that he's been doing for the last few years, and it drags on through December and up till about Christmas, and when the new year rolls around, he usually has figured it out by now. Thomas is the one guy that has been consistent night in, night out, in the starting lineup. I was saying last night that Jonas Jerebko is the one guy that's been consistent night in, night out, coming off the bench. Jaylen Brown got 15 minutes tonight. He looked okay, but for the most part, he looked lost out there. When Rozier was on the floor, he didn't really look like he had any sense being out there. And Kelly Olynyk, with just a few minutes tonight, was still looking like he was not back being cohesive with this team. So my question to you, Nick, is which one of these guys needs to get sat on the bench and lose their time so somebody else can have those minutes and actually build something and improve a little bit as the course of the year goes along?
Well, there's one person on the bench that I particularly am kind of frustrated with. I've been frustrated with the entire season, but I think that we'll probably spend more time discussing him later on in the show. So I'll go with the easy answer at this point, or maybe the not so easy answer, and say that giving Jaylen Brown 4 minutes, you know, a couple of minutes here and there in games, you know, in the previous games, and then suddenly jumping him up to 15 minutes a game tonight, I don't think it really does him that much good. I know a lot of Celtics fans would tell you can't send your number 3 pick up to Maine. He's too good to be wearing a lobster. But I really think that looking at him play tonight where he had, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist in 15 minutes. I mean, he didn't have a terrible game, but like you said, he looked relatively lost. He hasn't really found his identity, his flow in this rotation. I think a couple of games, and it's difficult with the Celtics' schedule this season, and you talked about it last night on the show, that there's kind of a lot of back-to-backs. There's several games, you know, coming up in a row where there's not really much of a break in between those games, but I think finding some time where you send him up to Maine, not necessarily to watch him dominate, you know, the D-League, but to let him get some of that confidence back, because I just don't think having him out there running around looking lost and not really contributing very much is good for his ego, for his mental state, for his confidence playing in this system and on this team, and on a team with 2 All-Stars on it, one of the few teams in the East with multiple All-Stars. I just don't think it's good for him. I think playing in Maine would probably give him some of that confidence back.
And that wouldn't be a surprise to see them send a rookie up there, especially if he starts to struggle. But I bet some people would take that as a negative thing. I wouldn't. I would look at it the way you are, in that he's going to get some actual playing time. He's going to get some run. And other guys have excelled up there for the Celtics in the past and been able to show what they can do and still stick with the team, even though they don't get minutes on the big league club, if you will. So I'd like to see that too. And I just, somebody's got to lose some time. The 5 minutes that get split between Zeller/Green/Brown every night, 2 out of those 3 guys have a handful of 5 minutes. And I just, most of those minutes, they seem meaningless to me. Leave Kelly Olynyk out there a couple extra minutes. Leave Jerebko out there a couple extra minutes. I mean, put Amir Johnson back in the game. He doesn't really play more than 15 or 20 minutes recently. So I don't know. It seems like you're wasting a spot out there when you're doing that. And sometimes it's not, I just don't see the point. And I think it can hurt the team because they need to have cohesiveness. They need to have consistency. And if you don't have that in a basketball team, then it's just going to look ugly. And they're going to have games like they did tonight where they barely beat the Philadelphia 76ers. So another disappointing win for the Celtics. This is back to back now, 2 games in a row. Disappointing wins. Is that possible? Am I being too hard on them?
No, I don't think a 1-point win against the Philadelphia 76ers without Joel Embiid, who is without question, I think, their best player, is not a disappointing win. I think when you're playing teams like that and you're the Boston Celtics, that you, when you're picked before the season to be a dark horse to possibly contend for the Eastern Conference Championship, when you have two All-Stars, you just brought in probably the best free agent signing short of Kevin Durant, he who shall remain nameless, well, I just named him, but short of Kevin Durant, the best free agent signing in the Eastern Conference, we should say, and you're beating the Philadelphia 76ers, a shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers, by 1 point, that's definitely a disappointing win. If there is such a thing, that would be it.
Well, I think we just made it. I think we just made it a thing. If people haven't said it before, then I'm saying it now. Couple games in a row here that I've not been impressed with the Celtics' performance. There have been specific players that have shined in both of those games, and I'm not going to take away anything from those guys. Thomas tonight, obviously. Avery Bradley, let's talk about him for a few minutes, because he had another amazing night tonight, and he keeps on pace as the first Celtic ever at the guard position to average 8 rebounds a game. He got another 9 rebounds tonight, and he had a couple of key offensive rebounds. One of them resulted in 2 points that was really important towards the end of that game. And the point is, Avery Bradley, another guy playing out of his mind right now, and if the rest of the team could just start to click a little bit more, I think that they would really have what people expected them to have going into the season.
It's definitely our starters are doing what they're supposed to do. I might have liked to have seen a little bit more out of Al Horford, especially given the way he played completely out of his mind last night against the Kings at home with his, 26 points and 8 rebounds, 6 blocks. Tonight only having 11 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, and 1 block wasn't exactly, you know, a great follow-up to his, you know, season-high game the night before. But it's really not the starters, you know, that are letting us down night in and night out. Sure, some of them may struggle shooting. Avery Bradley isn't going to score 20 every single night. I know he's averaging 18, but, I mean, it ranges between, you know, 15 points and maybe 20-something, you know. So he's somewhere in that range every single night. He's relatively consistent. It's the bench. I mean, we had 23 points from the bench, and that's – I mean, we need to get more. We can't depend on Isaiah Thomas to score 37 points or to score 30 points every single night. He's 5'7". I know he's listed at 5'9", but he's 5'7". He gets banged around like a ping pong ball out there. He's doing his best Allen Iverson impression. And tonight, although he was very, you know, efficient tonight with his shooting, he's typically not quite that efficient. We just can't rely on that every single night, and we need the bench. We need some kind of consistency to come out of this bench, or this team is going to continue to struggle. And I know that this is Brad Stevens' M.O. It's been his M.O. since he got to Boston, is the first, you know, third or maybe even half of the season is kind of, you know, hovering around 500, maybe a little bit better than 500, trying to find his rotation, you know, switching up, you know, players and inserting players in at different points and giving different minutes every single night and going based on matchups until he finally gets settled. But we need the bench. We need somebody on the bench to step up, and there's one guy on the bench that got more minutes than everybody else on the bench, and he hasn't been stepping up recently, and that would be, in my opinion, Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm. That's the guy that people would expect to be the sixth man, the guy that has been lauded by the Celtics upper management. They keep sticking with him. They defend him when he's flopping around all over the court, and they look away when he's acting like a little baby out there. So I feel like he has had a little bit of a slump recently. I was specifically watching him tonight, knowing that I was going to come on this postgame show and have to talk about something, right? And I was curious to see how Marcus Smart would respond to having basically a dud of a game last night and not really getting the minutes that he's used to getting. Well, he got the minutes tonight, but he still had kind of a dud of a game. And honestly, I found myself shocked to feel this way, but there were a couple times that I thought Marcus Smart should have taken shots, that, and he just ended up passing them up. So it is what it is, but Marcus Smart is a guy that needs to figure out his game, Nick, and we'll have to see where he can bring that, and if he can step up and take that step forward that all people expect him to be doing this year. Don't forget to give us a call at 347-215-7771. That's the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines. And we'll be looking towards those right after this.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news,
comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
All right, we're back here on the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. Celtics win 107-106 down in Philadelphia on the second night of a back-to-back. I keep saying that because I want to throw an excuse out there for the reason the Celtics only won by 1 point. My name is Matt Rury, and I'm here with Nick Sesento. We are streaming live on ESPNNHradio.com and on ESPN New Hampshire 900 and 1250 AM. Up there in New Hampshire. So what's going on? You can give us a call at 347-215-7771 on the Movement Watches toll-free call lines. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. And if you know anything about department store watches, they are expensive. They're like $400 to $500. You don't want to pay that much. The people over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and you get that savings right in your pocket, right back in your pocket. They're slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable. They start at just $95, so go to mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat. That's movementwatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first order with free shipping. Again, mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat. And the number one more time, 347-215-7771. We're going to continue talking about Marcus Smart here. And Nick, Jared Scalley is behind the glass tonight. He threw out his voice during the pregame show. So if anybody missed that, you can check that out. He streamed that live on ESPNNHradios.com as well. And he's a Marcus Smart guy, but he's telling me and you that even he's getting a little fed up with the way Marcus Smart is playing right now, and he wants a little bit more consistency out of him. So I don't know what the deal is with this guy, but I feel like tonight especially he was very hesitant. He passed up open shots, and usually I would criticize him for taking too many bad shots. So he just he looks a little lost out there himself. I said Jaylen Brown looks lost, but Marcus Smart looks lost within himself, not within the system.
Absolutely, and I can't explain what's going on in his head, because from game to game, you know, he can go from being super aggressive and just hurling anything, you know, he gets his hands on, to then being hesitant. Tonight, I don't even know if I would say he did pass up, you know, some shots that he probably should have taken, but he did take shots that he probably shouldn't have taken. I don't want Marcus Smart shooting 4 3-pointers, whether they're open or not open, whether there's nobody on that entire side of the court, whether he's even warming up. I don't want him taking 4 3-point shots. Well, I shouldn't say that warming up. He should probably practice, do that in the gym. But 4 3-point shots in the game is too much for Marcus Smart, who is shooting 29% from three. And that percentage is buoyed largely by his more effective shooting earlier in the season, because in recent games, he's been shooting absolutely horribly from behind the stripe, and or from behind the arc. And I have some statistics on where he shoots from and the percentages that he makes from different areas on the court, courtesy of Basketball Reference, which I know that you love, Matt Rury.
I love it. I love it. Break it out.
Absolutely. He shoots 41% from two in general, which is terrible for any, you know what I'm saying, two guard, combo guard, wing, whatever you want to call him, because he can play anywhere from the one to the three on the court. He can play any of those positions. But shooting 41% from two is unacceptable. But then when you break down those numbers, he shoots 44% from 0 to 3 feet from the basket, 44% from literally right at the basket, and then 41% from 3 to 10 feet. So these are chipper.
I mean,
these
yeah,
chip,
he's missing. He's missing a lot of layups. That's. I mean, that's not good. Or he's taking wild shots or something like that. I don't really know what the issue is with him. And just by comparison, Avery Bradley is shooting 49% from two this year. So
exactly, which is I mean, for a guard, that's pretty good for a guard. It's, you know, especially
and it's significant. No, but it's significantly more than Smart is what the point is.
Absolutely. So to finish these stats, 44% from 0 to 3 feet, 41% from 3 to 10 feet, 56% from 10 to 16 feet, which is odd because that's, you know, the mid-range game that everybody hated Evan Turner for, and that's basically where he's shooting his best percent, 56% from 10 to 16 feet, and then 23% from 16 feet to the three-point line, just inside the three-point line, and as I said before, 29% from 3. But the big issue with that is not just the terrible percentages, but if you look at where he takes the majority of his shots, he takes almost 50% of his shots from the three-point line, where he's shooting 29%.
It's too many.
And only, too many. And only 6% of his shots from that range 10 to 16 feet, where he has his best percentage, 56%. So he's taking half of his shots from where he shoots literally almost the worst. It's his second worst, 29%. And he's only taking 6% of his shots from where he shoots the best, 10 to 16 feet. And he's only taking 20% of his shots at the basket, 0 to 3 feet, where he shoots 44%. So not only is he shooting terrible percentages, but he's shooting more shots from the places he shoots the worst from. So just in his entire selection is just backwards.
So Brad Stevens would say that the three-pointer is one of the more efficient shots in basketball now because it's worth 3 points, and it's better than taking a shot that's 2 to 4 feet inside of the line because it's basically the same kind of shot, and it's worth more. For that, I would agree. But when you're Marcus Smart and you clearly do well in the mid-range game and you have shown that you're a better shooter at that in that part of the on that part of the floor than the 3-point line, I don't know. I feel like I know or I could see where he might be contradicted in his mind as to whether he should be taking these shots or not, and if he's shooting so poorly recently, that might have something to do with why he looks hesitant out there in the last couple of games. But I feel like he, when his energy is high, that's when he, even though he flies off the handle a little bit, that's when he's at his best, and I'd rather see that, and I'd rather see the Marcus Smart that's kind of all over the place and committing fouls. As much as I criticize him for flopping, I mean, I think that he at least tries to take charges. I'd rather not see him flop, but if he's not trying to take charges, he doesn't seem to be engaged in the game, and that's something that he needs if he's going to play well for this team.
Listen, we can go through all the analytics and basketball theory we want. I know that Brad Stevens is that type of coach, that he loves those advanced numbers. He loves the analytics. He loves the theory. He loves all those things. But when it comes to Marcus Smart's offense, you have to make him shoot from where he can actually make the shots. And that's not very many places on the court. So you don't give him the green light to say, hey, you got it, shoot it. You got to get him to his sweet spot and let him hit it. The big thing for me and Marcus Smart, and I'm going to ask you a question. Can you tell me what Marcus Smart's go-to offensive move is, other than chucking a three-point shot? What is his go-to offensive move?
I feel like he puts his shoulder down and tries to get to the rim. He doesn't really have one, but I mean, he puts his shoulder down and he tries to get to the rim and get fouled or something. It's not really he's not taking a shot or something in that instance. He's really just trying to create contact. And he gets called for a lot of offensive fouls. Last night he got called for one, or actually maybe that was in tonight's game. It's so many games in so many such a short period here. He kicks his legs out, and he gets called for that, and he deserves to get called for that.
The one thing he did well tonight was he got to the line. He got to the line twice. He shot four free throws, and he made three of them, which is better than his free throw percentage of 58% on the season. So if his go-to move is to put his head down and try to get to the line, he's only hitting 58% from the line. So offensively speaking, he's not even a good shooter taking free throws, taking free shots. So he doesn't have a go-to move that we can identify as, you know what I'm saying, relatively intelligent, you know, in-tune analysts. I'd say relatively, at least in my sense, I think you're a little bit better than I am, Marie. But, you know, as people that do this, you know what I'm saying, on a regular basis, on an almost nightly basis, I know this is your second night in a row, Matt Rury, doing this show, we can't identify a go-to offensive move that Marcus Smart has other than saying, well, he puts his head down and tries to get to the line.
That's
but then
it,
when he gets to the line, he's only shooting 58%.
Right, it doesn't make any sense.
That's unacceptable. No, it doesn't make
so
sense.
It's funny because I think the last couple of possessions tonight, Isaiah Thomas was actually not on the floor, and you throw Marcus Smart out there. But there was one point in the game I remember Scalabrine on the Comcast broadcast said something like, this is Brad's go-to lineup with Al Horford at the five. He's trying to spread it out a little bit. And I saw the other players on the floor. It was Bradley, okay. Thomas, okay. Jay Crowder, great. And Marcus Smart. And I'm like, wait a minute. Marcus Smart hasn't hit a shot all night. He's looked horrible. He's looked horrible in the past couple of games here. Why is he one of the guys that Stevens is trying to spread it out with? Put Jerebko out there if you're trying to spread it out. Put basically anybody else right now is shooting better than Marcus Smart is. Put Gerald Green back in the game. Put Kelly Olynyk out there if you're trying to. So I thought that little piece from Scalabrine was not exactly what I saw anyway, because Marcus Smart to me does not deserve to be one of the guys in the spread it out and shoot the ball around Al Horford lineup that the Celtics were supposedly throwing out there.
No, and I love Brian Scalabrine. I think every Celtics fan loves the White Mamba, but I mean, the reality is that, and he's not an ineffective basketball analyst either, but I think half of Brian Scalabrine's, and this is not going to be a long tangent about Brian Scalabrine, but half of Brian Scalabrine's appeal is the fact that he's an internet meme. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't tell him that to his face because I wouldn't want to make him upset. But I mean, really, you know, that's where half of his appeal comes from, is the fact that he's the White Mamba, he's the ginger that gets on the floor and kind of, you know, he won a championship without ever seeing a minute of game time in that 2008 Finals series. Maybe that's the go-to lineup because Marcus Smart on the other side of the ball is an absolutely fantastic player. Without that defense, he wouldn't be in the league, but that defense is enough.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a testament to just how good that defense is, that defense is so good, his hustle and his intangibles are so high off the chart on the defensive end that he's able to stay in the league, because without that, he would be Gerald Green. He wouldn't even be Gerald Green because he doesn't even dunk as well as Gerald Green. But that's a testament to just how good his defense is. So he's a player that's an enigma almost. It's a paradox that offensively, he's just cringeworthily bad. Cringeworthily, I don't know if that's the word, but he's cringeworthily bad. But defensively, he makes people fall in love with his grit, his hustle, his grind, his intensity, his determination. So you just hope that he eventually puts it all together one day. That's all we can do.
Who do you think was the best player on the floor tonight for the Celtics?
Well,
This is not a trick question. Who is the best player on the floor?
It was obviously Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that goes without saying.
I'm asking this question because I'm about to rip the plus minus stat after us talking about Marcus Smart. I'm just sort of looking at the box for people who like the plus minus stat. Did you really like Marcus Smart's game? Because guess what? He led the Celtics in plus minus tonight, and he was a plus 11. Isaiah Thomas, just a plus 4. Avery Bradley, who we spoke about earlier, and we both agree had an excellent game tonight, was a minus 7. And Al Horford, who had a mediocre game, was a minus 8. So my point here is, it looked to me as though both Horford and Bradley were more important to the Celtics tonight than Marcus Smart was, yet Marcus Smart's plus-minus is higher than the two of theirs. So that's one more reason that anybody out there that likes this stat in basketball should stop liking this stat and just throw it out the window. It's useless to me. I just wanted to throw that out there quickly.
Absolutely, I agree with you, and I know we're about to hit a break in a couple of seconds, but I agree with you, and I've been listening to the CLNS radio long before I became a host or working the switchboard, and I know that other CLNS personalities and hosts are not big fans of the plus-minus, because plus-minus is not just a reflection of how one player plays, but how the entire unit plays while that player is on the court with that unit. So the last game, Marcus Smart led the team in negative plus-minus. I mean, I guess that's not leading the team, but he was negative 12 in plus-minus with similar stats. He had 3 points and three assists instead of 7 points and three assists. So plus-minus,
like
I take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's not like hockey. You can't just do it like that. There's too many points scored for a plus-minus to really work that well. And that's my take on that. We won't make this a plus-minus argument for the rest of the show. I promise you that. But we will come back, and we will talk about a couple of 76ers that are on my mind after we saw them play the Celtics tonight. And we'll look ahead to the Celtics schedule coming up here. It is the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio and ESPN New Hampshire.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
Hey, welcome back in to the Boston Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Radio. We are the leading online provider of audio-video coverage for the Boston Celtics. We are also streaming live on ESPN New Hampshire, 912:50 a.m. up in the Granite State. and ESPNNHradio.com. I'm Matt Rury along with Nick Sesento. The Celtics beat the 76ers down in Philly 107-106 tonight. A squeaker tonight. You can give us a call at 347-215-7771. That is the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines here on the Boston Celtics postgame show. And Nick, in honor of playing the 76ers tonight, I would like to discuss a couple of 76ers. We focused on the Celtics for the most part in the first 40 minutes of the show, but there was a Sixer that kind of caught my eye tonight, and he's definitely caught Mike Gorman's eye. He caught Gorman's eye in the Olympics. I want to talk about Dario Saric for a second, and then I want to get to a guy that actually didn't play tonight for the 76ers. But first, let's talk about this Saric kid. He had 21 and 12 tonight against the Celtics, who admittedly are an undersized team in the NBA as far as big men are concerned. Scal and Gorman were going back and forth about this kid, and Scal is not buying his upper-level talent. Gorman thinks that he can be a special player if he puts the work in. He's only 21 years old. We haven't really seen much of him, but from what you saw tonight, he was a minus 12, by the way. Again, I thought he was an important player for them, so that's a telling stat that it's a stat that's no good. But from what you saw of him tonight, do you feel like he's going to be sticking around here in the NBA for a while?
I don't pay much attention to the Philadelphia 76ers other than, you know, a few of the players that I wouldn't mind seeing in green, Nerlens Noel. But 21. Anytime you have a player that can score 21 points, 12 rebounds, get that double-double, two assists as well, one steal, and then shoot 7 for 12 from the field, including 3 for 6 from three-point from the four position. I believe he plays power forward. I mean, negative 12 plus minus, you know, notwithstanding, that's a skill set. Now, whether that's a flash in the pan, something that only happens every so often, or this is the first time it's ever happened, I don't know because I don't follow the Philadelphia 76ers and I don't follow international basketball all that much. I mean, occasional Olympic game and some of the FIBA games. But if he can do that, you know, every other game or, you know, even something close to that, it doesn't have to score 20 points and 12 rebounds every game to be able to stick around in this league. I mean, he could do half of that, you know, 10 points and 6 rebounds, and he would be fine.
So he's averaging 8.7 and 5.6 this year, and he has had, let's see, a couple of double-doubles, two double-doubles, and then tonight would be his third double-double of the season this year for Dario Saric. So just a guy to keep an eye on. He's in the division. You're going to see this Philadelphia 76ers team multiple times this season. And he is one of the top rookies in the league, even though he played professionally for many years overseas. But definitely the 76ers relying on a lot of young players, and he's one of them. And just the way that he kind of ate up the Celtics tonight, I feel like he has a place in this league. The crowd was really loving it when he basically broke Jarebko's ankles and made him fall down and stuck a shot in his face. But luckily, the Celtics come out with the victory, and they don't have to worry about dropping one of these games to a team that is looked at as extremely poor in the league. The Philadelphia 76ers are not respected as far as a winner is concerned. So for the Celtics to almost lose this game, it's no good, Nick. It's no good. But we're trying to stay positive around here.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dario Saric, if this is what he can do and the stats you just mentioned, I take him on the Celtics, you know, any day of the week. It didn't seem like he did too much. I'd like to see what his defensive stats are other than that one steal, if he ever manages to get any blocks, if he's, you know, how he does defensively on a regular basis. But the stats you mentioned, I take him on the Celtics any day of the week, because if that's what he's doing, if that's what he's putting up coming off the Sixers bench, I mean, that's as good or better than anything we're getting from our big men coming off the bench. So seems like he has something, you know, going on to me. And he can hit his free throws, which is a rarity in today's NBA, especially amongst big men players. He hit 4 for 4 from the free throw line. So, I mean, he's doing pretty much what you would want somebody to do. He can stretch the floor as a big, which is what, you know, modern bigs do today. He can clearly rebound. He can obviously, you know, score. And even if it's only, you know, 9 points a game or 8.5 points a game, that's still fine. passed the ball out. He had a couple of assists. He had some steals. And if he can, you know, block, you know, somewhere, you know, close to a shot a game, if, and I haven't looked at his stats, if mm-hmm. he can do that, clearly he's a player that, you know, has a future in the NBA. And he has the pro experience. Kind of makes you curious as to what Ante Zizic, I believe that's how you pronounce it, and Yabusele out there in the international leagues will mm-hmm. do for the Celtics when it comes their time to play for us.
It's definitely encouraging to see a guy like Saric playing pretty well in his rookie season for the 76ers. All right, one more minute on the 76ers, and then we are going to look ahead to in the Celtics schedule. Brett Brown, their coach today, said that, or maybe he said it yesterday, regardless, he said that Ben Simmons, the number one pick in the draft, is going to come back and play point guard for the 76ers when he returns. But now, we haven't really seen him. He got hurt before the season, and they're saying he can come back in January. But he's 6'10", and he apparently is going to be the point guard for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's going to match up with other point guards in the league. Quickly, Nick, even without having seen anything of this kid in real NBA games, do you think that he is going to be able to adjust well to having to match up against guys like Isaiah Thomas, like Russell Westbrook, and on down the list, even like a guy like Derrick Rose? Is he going to be able to stay with guys that are crafty like that? I am actually going to be interested to see what happens when he comes back, if he's actually going to play point guard night in, night out for this team.
I think the upside to that is it creates massive mismatches, especially if you're playing a guy that's 5'7" or 5'9" like Isaiah Thomas. You know, clearly that's an incredible mismatch. He's literally over a foot taller than Isaiah Thomas, and probably, you know, a good, you know, 10 inches, 9 inches, 8 inches taller than your average NBA point guard, which is, I think, getting a little bit taller as, you know, the league seems that the positions are kind of flattening out in general in terms of their height, that you have taller point guards and maybe smaller bigs in general, even though you have these freaks like, for example, Kristaps Porzingis, who plays small forward but is 7 foot whatever, 5 or something crazy. I think it's possible. I think everybody has seen his, you know, high school highlight reels. I think everyone's seen what he's been able to do distributing the ball when he played for LSU. But running point guard and running the point and running an offense in the NBA is a different beast altogether. And we can see that in our own team, we can see that in our own team with Marcus Smart, and the fact that he's been unable to really run even a second team offense. And he played some point guard in at Oklahoma State. It's, you know, which is, I think, you know, roughly the equivalent of, you know, LSU. I don't know, somewhat, you know, they're both big conference, you know, basketball teams, Big 12 and the SEC. It's going to be an experiment, and I think they're going to find out relatively quickly whether that experiment works or it doesn't. It'll certainly create some mismatches, but, you know, I coach middle school basketball, and I teach the fundamentals. And the one thing that you teach people that dribble the ball, that handle the ball, is you got to dribble that ball low or someone's going to take it from you. And how low can somebody who's 6'10" keep the ball when you have players like, I'm not going to go as short as Isaiah Thomas, but, you know, you put somebody like Avery Bradley, even Marcus Smart, who's shown the capability of defending bigger players like that. Marcus Smart has defended players that are 6'10".
Yep.
You put him
on
Ben Simmons, exactly, and we'll see how good his handles are, if he's going to be able to cross over smaller players that are used to defending that position. I don't necessarily think it's going to work. I'm a skeptic, but I think it's out of need. I think it's out of need as much as it is anything else, because
that's
their front court is just way too overloaded.
That's a slap in the face to Sergio Rodriguez.
and one more thing, Ben Simmons doesn't have the jump shot. He doesn't have the range that'll keep players honest. So, I mean, they can basically get up on him, because of that first step, is as quick as he may be for 6'10", I don't think he's going to be taking most, you know, he's not going to be taking guys like Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley off the dribble and crossing them over and dropping them down. And if they don't have to respect his, you know, pull-up jumper, because he doesn't really have that great of an outside shot, it makes it that much easier to defend him. So we'll find out. We'll see.
All right, there you have it. That's the Philadelphia portion of this post-game show here, the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio and ESPN New Hampshire. The Celtics have 11 games coming up from now through Christmas, and 8 of those games are on the road. And they play a couple of those games in between road games at home. So it's a strange schedule coming up here. Of course, they're at the Knicks on Christmas. But these games, some of them are deceivingly difficult. So I think the Celtics fans should prepare themselves for the Celtics to perhaps be 500 or close to it going in to Christmas and then turning things up and playing a little bit better after that. But I hope they end up figuring things out quicker than that. But immediately coming up on the schedule, Nick, is the Houston Rockets. And I want to ask you a quick question about their superstar, James Harden. Obviously, Avery Bradley is going to start off playing defense against him when the game begins. But throughout the game, the Celtics can rotate a few different guys to try and stop him, especially with Smart coming in off the bench. Who do you think deserves the most time guarding James Harden, and who will be the most effective on him?
Oh, I think that goes without question. You're just going to see a whole lot of Avery Bradley and a whole lot of Marcus Smart. I think if Marcus Smart wants to stay in this league, this is what Marcus Smart is going to be doing. He's going to be defending players like James Harden, who might have a little bit of size, a little bit of, you know, height on guys like Avery Bradley. Marcus Smart can out-strengthen James Harden. James Harden is a finesse player. He's not really, I mean, he has a little bit of strength, but he's more of a finesse player, more of a speed player. We can see if Marcus Smart can, you know, put some clamps on him. I don't think you can stop James Harden. That's not going to happen, but you can slow him down. So if we keep him somewhere in, you know, the low 20s, I think that, you know, that's a good goal for that situation and puts us in a good situation to win. We're certainly not going to see too much of, I think, Isaiah Thomas on James Harden. I just don't think that that's a fair matchup. If, you know, James Harden was smart, he would just post them up every single time, although I don't think that's his strength, obviously. But, I mean, you know, again, if between Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart, they'll earn their money guarding, you know, rotating off James Harden like that.
They're going to have to. All right, I want to say thank you and good night to everybody listening on ESPN New Hampshire. Thank you all for checking us out tonight here on the Boston Celtics postgame show. You all can check out ESPN New Hampshire at ESPNNHradio.com. And before we go, Nick, we can discuss a little bit of stuff that you and a few of the other hosts on the network here enjoy talking about. Not my favorite subject, because I think it's all just a lot of blah, blah, blah until something actually happens. But the trade rumblings are starting. Here they go. They're starting up again. And, of course, the Celtics have some assets that they can use to try and entice teams to trade them their best players. But what are you hearing out there as far as rumors are concerned? Because I know you're tapped into that stuff.
It's not necessarily my favorite topic either, because there's just so much to keep up with, and with the rise of these weird new websites, you know, that come out of nowhere, like Yabada and iSportsFella and these other weird websites that pop up. If you follow any of the Celtics, you know, trade the rumor mills on the social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or even sometimes Twitter, you have these weird websites that, you know, some writer will suggest something that may work in, you know, the ESPN trade machine, and then they'll cite that writer as being a source to an actual, you know, trade that in reality has, you know, no actual, you know, substance behind it whatsoever. But I did have an interesting discussion on the Celtics Beat podcast Facebook group with Larry H. Russell, and Larry H. and his legions of followers seem to be very high on Andrew Bogut and getting Andrew Bogut, the mad Australian, in green to play the rest of this by the trade deadline, to play the rest of the seasons for the Celtics, to shore up our big man rotation, give us some help rebounding and protecting the rim, so that Al Horford can possibly slide down to the four and Andrew Bogut can come in and play the five. What they suggested was Andrew Bogut can come cheap, that the Dallas Mavericks are looking for, you know, expiring contracts, and I believe Andrew Bogut himself is an expiring contract, so I don't understand that whole thing. But well, what I seem to gather was maybe, you know, a Zeller or an Amir Johnson in a second round pick, maybe throw in James Young or something. And my opinion on that is, I don't think that moves like that, which are basically lateral moves in the long run, because while Andrew Bogut will certainly, you know, make the team a better rebounding team or give us an added boost defensively, I don't necessarily think it does anything for us in the future. I think if Danny Ainge is going to make a play, is going to make a trade, he should be looking to add. If he's not going to make a blockbuster trade, and I'm not one of these people that likes these pie in the sky, we're going to trade half our team for Boogie Cousins or all of our team for Anthony Davis or any of that stuff, I think we should be looking at smaller trades, like I mentioned earlier, Nerlens Noel. I would be absolutely fantastic. I would be elated.
Yeah, I mentioned that last night, too. Yep.
Yes, I would be elated if we could do as Mike Gorman said and trade the Brooklyn pick for Nerlens Noel, or even trade Marcus Smart. And I know that's heresy to so many Celtics fans, but looking at what Marcus Smart does, I think that Nerlens Noel fills a gap that nobody on our team currently can fill, whereas we have other players that can step in and do what Marcus Smart does on this team, namely Terry Rozier, who isn't quite there yet, but he will be. And I think Nerlens Noel is probably a trade that doesn't cost too much. He's slightly damaged goods. He wants to leave Philadelphia, but he can supplement what we have without really overhauling the entire roster. And I'd like to see something small like that happen.
I think I would have to wait and see and make sure that he was healthy before I pulled the trigger on anything like that. And as far, I'm going to go the same way with Bogut. Bogut's the type of guy that can improve your team when he's healthy, but he definitely gets injured, and he often can't play on the second night of back-to-backs. He doesn't play in back-to-back games. The Celtics have a lot of those this year. He is the type of guy that if he gets hurt, he's out for a few weeks, and then it lingers, and then maybe he's not as effective on the court for you. So I don't know. I wouldn't give the farm for Andrew Bogut. You know, you got to still hold on to some of those assets that you have, some of the draft picks. You can't just be throwing a bunch of stuff out there for a guy like that because he's an injury risk. I look at it like Shaquille O'Neal. Everybody thought Shaq was going to be a good part of this Boston Celtics team years ago. And I know it was a signing, not a trade, but Shaq was a shell of himself, and he didn't help at all. Now, I'm not saying that's what Andrew Bogut would bring to the table, because he can definitely still play, but he is getting to the point in his career where you have to manage him and his health, and you have to manage him more than you would almost any other player on this Celtics roster. So I think it would add a wrinkle, and it would be difficult for the Celtics to deal with that, especially since they can't even find consistency within their own roster right now. They need to be able to figure out how to play with themselves before they bring in a guy like that who is going to be in and out of the lineup, and you're not sure when he's going to play. So that's what I would feel about that. And I also feel like that's enough of the trade rumor discussion tonight. So
definitely.
I think that's going to do it for us here on the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show, unless, Nick, you have anything else you want to throw out there.
No, solid win, I guess. A win is a win. It goes down in the column as a W. And since we're at 12-8, just to reference the basketball reference one more time, they actually projected us to be at 11-9 at this point in the season. So we're one step ahead of where basketball reference, the almighty basketball reference.
I do trust that site.
Absolutely, I do too. I think they're one of the best resources for basketball on the internet. So we're slightly ahead of that, and I think that any buffer we can have going into this stretch before the Christmas break, or, you know, these next games where we have several back-to-backs, is a good thing. And I'd just like to give, before we end the show out, just like to give a shout-out to Tom, the owner and coach of the ABA team, the New England Anchors, out there in Worcester, Mass. They play their games at South High in Worcester, Mass., and it's one of the few teams to actually have a presence out there in East Central Mass. And I told him I'd give him a shout-out on the show, and I think it's a worthy cause, having spent some time living near Worcester myself. Not very much to do for kids out there. It is an urban center, but not that much for kids to do. It is a pro team, an ABA team, the New England Anchors. So shout-out to the New England Anchors.
All right, cool. Fair enough. Maybe I should drive up to Worcester. I live closer to Worcester than I did before, so maybe I'll go check them out.
$10 a game, $10 a ticket, $5 to students with the South High student ID. So definitely worth the trip if you want to see some good basketball. I believe they're undefeated on their season so far. So, and, you know, Worcester's a decent city. It's not that bad.
No, you can find some good spots to go in Worcester for sure.
Definitely.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show. This show will be available on demand if you just search for CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes or Stitcher, or more importantly, the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app, because that thing is free and you can hear all the shows that we have on this wonderful network. Follow us on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CLNSfans. And don't forget ESPNRadioNH.com. Go check them out because they have some good stuff as well. ESPNNH on Twitter and /ESPNNewHampshire on Facebook. Tonight's show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. That stuff is delicious. Also, our friends at Movement Watches, that's MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first purchase. Don't forget about them. And Audible is wonderful as well. AudiblePodcast.com/TryNow for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. The music tonight was provided by Joshua Morse, and we want to thank today's callers and everybody else who tuned in. For CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network who bailed on us tonight, Nick Gelso, my co-host Nick Sicento, my name is Matt Rury. We will see you all back here on Monday night when the Celtics are down in Houston, take on the Rockets and James Harden. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you later.